KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. I'm Eddie Hughes here alongside my partner in production, Kevin Kirsten.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
I'm excited about today's show, Kevin. First off, we've got a big, big Bulldog basketball game coming up this afternoon at the Save Mart Center. Fresno State hosting San Diego State, a perennial power in the Mountain West, but also a team struggling a bit so far this year. It's a rematch of last year's Mountain West Championship when former Bulldog Julian Lewis hit a big shot down the stretch. The Bulldogs went on to cut down the nets there at the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas, winning the Mountain West tournament for the first time, 4 or 5 years in the conference now, and the Bulldogs earned an NCAA tournament bid for the first time since 2001. You know why this game's even more important to me personally, Kevin?
No, I don't. Let me know.
It's a household rivalry. That's right. My wife went to San Diego State. She's an alumna. She played water polo there, so bragging rights are definitely on the line this weekend in my household. You know, she's a little torn. She also went to Fresno State for graduate school, so she's got that soft spot in her heart for the Aztecs as well. So the tension's always high when matchups like this happen. And actually, funny story for you, a buddy of mine here who works on campus, Frank Puccio, he got us this framed photo years ago of an old black and white billboard advertising the Fresno State-San Diego State rivalry way back in the day. So each year, cool. Based on who wins the football game between Fresno State-San Diego State, we trade that as a little trophy back and forth for who gets it on their side of the room or whatever. So
are you telling me that in the Hughes household, there's Aztec decorations or decor in your house?
There is way more Aztec memorabilia than I'd like, which is like, you know, I'd like zero pieces. And there's probably around a dozen with her old jackets from when she played.
Yeah, you can't blame her, though.
Her different team pictures and whatnot. So, but yeah, it's fun. She had a lot of great teammates there, a lot of great times. And now Fresno State's got water polo coming up, too, so that'll be a new rivalry.
I just saw Coach Benson the other day, actually.
We're looking forward to Bulldog water polo starting up. But as we said, Fresno State-San Diego State today at the Save Mart Center. It's going to be a big game. The Bulldogs have won 3 out of the past 4 in hoops. It's turning into quite the rivalry. When Fresno State came into the Mountain West, it was really dominated by San Diego State, New Mexico, UNLV. And now the Bulldogs find themselves as one of those top-tier teams these past couple years, just really right in the thick of the race the whole way through. Quite possibly the most talented team in the Mountain West with their depth and their level of talent right now.
And you know, there's no one on earth that's not going to tell you that San Diego State doesn't have that in the back of their mind, that last year the way it ended and how we were in an NCAAs instead of them and how we took the Mountain West Championship. So you know they're coming for some payback.
This would be the 14th straight home win for the Bulldogs if they can pull it off. They beat San Diego State here in Fresno last year, so hopefully that'll be a trend that continues. Last 2 years, they've beaten San Diego State at home, so hopefully that'll be a trend that continues. San Diego State, it's probably the two most talented teams in the conference on paper. The Bulldogs, Aztecs, and Nevada are probably that top three, but whatever order you put them in, there's going to be a lot of talented guys on the court. There's going to be some great defense play. That's what San Diego State's known for, with all the long athletic guys they have. And they'll get after you, as is Rodney Terry's style with the Bulldogs. It's going to be fun. Hopefully the Dogs can avenge that loss to the Aztecs in football this year. But speaking of football, as you know, Wednesday was National Signing Day for the college recruits. Jeff Tedford held a big press conference to announce his first recruiting class as the Bulldogs coach. We'll have sound from Jeff Tedford and his thoughts on the class, but first, a very special guest on the line, former Bulldogs defensive line standout who hails from Sanger, Nico Mata. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We appreciate you coming on. Nico, of course, we saw your tweet on signing day earlier this week. We thought we got to get this guy on the show to talk about this. You said in that tweet, 8 years ago today, I made the best decision of my life signing with Fresno State. Lives will be changed forever today. Talk about your decision to attend Fresno State 8 years ago and how it changed your life.
Yeah, well, you know, for me, it was a pretty easy decision. You know, growing up in Fresno and growing up in Sanger and being a hometown kid, I always wanted to play at Fresno State. So it really wasn't that hard of a decision for me. What was really kind of odd was that I didn't get recruited by Fresno State originally. My first offer was from Arizona State and Jamie Christian, who is now the running backs coach for Fresno State. You know, I was a little upset. I was like, man, I wonder why these Pac-10 schools at the time were calling me and, you know, Fresno State wasn't. And John Baxter and Coach Hill ended up coming in not too long after my junior year was going on. And they kind of said, you know, sorry we're so late, but we're here now. And you know, I had a little academic trouble at the time, and Coach Baxter with his AGP and academic game plan kind of got me on the right track, you know, to make me eligible and get there. You know, it really wasn't too hard of a decision for me. I always knew I wanted to go to Fresno State. As far as the life changing, man, some of these guys, especially from my hometown, you know, we don't come for much. A lot of our family doesn't go on to college. You know, a lot of our families can't afford college. And for me, I was the first person in my family to go to college on both sides. And to have a scholarship for athletics was even better, you know. There's no way my family could afford for me to go to college unless, you know, we get the grants and, you know, financial aid and things like that. And it was life-changing for me. I ended up getting my degree. You know, now I'm working towards my credential to be a PE teacher at Sanger High School. And it opened up a lot of doors for me as far as, you know, job opportunities and things of that nature.
Yeah, that's great. And we hear that story from so many Fresno State graduates, not just student athletes, but so many of the general student population are first generation students, or, you know, they find their way to Fresno State. You know, it's kind of that first step toward realizing those dreams. But what's your career path right now? What are you looking to do?
Well, right now I work at the high school as a student parent advocate. I help at-risk kids, some of our struggling kids at Sanger High School. You know, I'm just trying to mentor them. You know, let them know that there's a way out of just being in that small little town and things of that nature. So right now, I'm currently getting my credential to become a PE teacher and further my path in teaching.
And going back to that day when you signed, there was a ton of hoopla even back then. That wasn't that long ago about recruiting, the whole recruiting process, especially when it comes to college football. But
right.
I think we're seeing it more and more every year with, you know, the emergence of Twitter and all the social media, the graphics that college programs are making now for each kid who visits. Talk
right.
about what that whole process was like for you when you came out of high school.
Well, when I was in high school, the social media part wasn't too big. You know, now a lot of the coaches are doing most of their recruiting through social media. That's just the wave of what it is now. That's what kids are doing. At the time, it was when Oregon was having their real big come up with jerseys, and I think they had over 300 ways they can wear their jerseys at the time, and every big-time recruit was trying to go to Oregon, you know, and at the time it was the new jerseys, and I think everyone kind of caught up to that in the nation. Everyone kind of has the new jerseys now. Everyone has the good-looking helmets and all that stuff, you know. But the social media thing was not very big for me. You know, a lot of kids can just shop themselves around, throw their names out there. I know the ratings and the stars, that's a big thing nowadays. And, you know, at the time when I was playing, which is not too long ago, I could care less. You know, I wanted to go out there and play for my town and play for my team. And that's all I cared about. You know, the game has changed a little bit more as far as social media. And I know it's making it a little tougher on guys, but, you know, I think it's all good. And you know, it's just the way you got to get with the times now.
We hear it all the time with the Bulldogs rocking the green V on the helmet, all the movement around that, and the Valley's team, paint the Valley red. Was there ever any doubt for you once you got that Fresno State offer, even though you had those Pac-10 programs at the time, now Pac-12 knocking on your door? Were you just a Bulldog at heart?
I think I was a Bulldog since the first time I went to go watch a Fresno State game. And I never even thought twice of going somewhere else. So when those other schools were calling my name, you know, I was kind of like, you know, I was kind of putting them off. And, you know, Coach Christian, like I brought up earlier, I mean, man, he was in my living room, a small little two-bedroom apartment in Sanger. You know, and I'm like, man, you know, I got a freaking Arizona State coach here in my living room trying to get me out there. And, you know, it was a little overwhelming, but it was awesome. And to play in front of my family and to play in front of my town and things of that nature at Fresno State, man, I never thought twice. We had a lot of guys from our section at the time. It was Travis Brown in the same class as me, Lars Bramer from Buchanan. You know, we all kind of talked on it. At the time, it was MySpace, and we all kind of talked, and we were all fired up about becoming Bulldogs at the time because we all played each other in high school.
And we hear so much of that talk with recruiting the Valley and Valley kids staying home and kind of representing their hometown while they're at home, so to speak, instead of going somewhere else to do it. But now that you're coaching, you're on the coaching staff there at Sanger High School, and for all the kids who signed this week, including Sanger's own Aaron Mosby, what advice would you give them as they're preparing for their college responsibilities these next 4 or 5 years, both on the field and off?
Well, I let Mosby know, man, that I know he kind of wanted other schools to recruit him and stuff. He wasn't too highly recruited. I think he was kind of a hidden gem in the sense of how he didn't have too many people looking for him. I think he had Nevada with Courtney Viney recruiting him, and then obviously Fresno State. And I just let him know, man, I said, you're going to have the best time of your life. I said, it's going to be one of the most challenging things, but it'll also be one of the most rewarding things. I said, it's not easy to play a high level of football, which you're going to play. I said, there's no reason to go somewhere else. We're going to play the top dogs. I think next year we're going to Bama, Washington, and I think BYU is coming to town or something like that. And,
exactly.
You know, I said, there's no reason to go out somewhere else, at least try to go somewhere else when you're going to play those top dogs. And that's kind of what Coach Hill at the time always preached to me, was that, you know, we play against the top guys and let's see how you match up against them. You know, we're not going to back down from anybody. We're going to go out there, we're going to fly around, and we're going to hit you in the mouth. So that's kind of what I let Mosby know, is that, man, you know, you're going to have your chance to prove yourself in front of these teams. You know, it's what you do with it. You know, I just let him know that it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be the most rewarding and most fun time of his life right now, man. My 5 years at Fresno State was some of the greatest memories I've had. You know, I'm still young now, but man, it was a blast.
How important do you think it is for Fresno State to really own the Valley when it comes to recruiting?
I think it's big. I think it's big, not only just for ticket sales. I mean, you get tons of Sanger fans now to go watch Mosby. When I was playing, Sanger went out there and supported me every single time. Even in the spring game, you have fans yelling at me, you know, hey, I'm from Sanger, you know, and I go over there and show them some love. And I think it's very important, man. I think, you know, this is the only thing we have here in this section in the Valley. There's no pro teams. There's no things of that nature where it's just Fresno State football. And I think if we can really hold the kids here, it'll be a major boost. And I know it will. I mean, my class, we had Derek, Travis. You know, we had some guys from Bakersfield, again, Lars Bramer. I mean, we had a lot of guys that were from the Valley and really kind of set that tone of what we want to be and how what we're going to do.
Kind of along those lines, break it down for us a little bit as far as your scouting report on Aaron Mosby. I know he played wide receiver and DB for Sanger. We heard Coach Tedford say Mosby will play safety for the Bulldogs. How do you think his skills transition to the college level?
You know, like they said, Mosby is an athlete. I think he's going to be on the defensive side of the ball. Not really sure if it's going to be safety or he might move down to linebacker. He's a big kid, and his frame is able to put on another 20, 30 pounds of just muscle. He's a growing kid and just the type of player, man. He's real quiet, but he's about his business and he's about action. And our question mark going into his junior year, you know, we weren't too sure what Aaron Mosby was about. You know, he just grew 3 or 4 inches going into his junior year. The kid is 6'4", and we're like, man, where are we going to play this guy at, you know? And we didn't know how tough he was, and man, the first day of pads, he didn't shy away. You know, we have a tradition in Sanger that we're going to out-hit everybody we play, and Mosby rose up to the occasion and was putting kids on their backs. And, you know, we were like, you know what, this kid might be okay. And sure enough, he ended up being one of our best players on our team this past year and his junior year. You know, he might end up rushing off the edge. I mean, I think his body's just going to grow, and I think he's just going to get bigger and stronger. You might see him outside linebacker. He might be inside backer. Who knows? But I think he has the weight set and the body type to put some more muscle on.
So to be determined, it sounds like. But Jeff Tedford was just hired this fall. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to him and get to know him yet. I know he's already said he wants to make a big emphasis around getting the alumni here, keeping them here, reconnecting alumni who we haven't seen for a while. He's a former quarterback here at Fresno State himself, but have you had the chance to kind of talk to him yet and get to know him a little bit?
I have not. I have not talked to Coach Tedford yet. I've been in contact with J.D. Williams because he was at the high school when he was recruiting Aaron Mosby, and we have our sophomore, Jalen Cropper. And, you know, we had a real good conversation, and he knows a lot about the Valley. I didn't know too much about him until we started talking more and more. And obviously, Coach Christian, who recruited me at Arizona, said I've been in contact with him. But I plan on going out there during spring ball and go checking out their practices and stuff like that to kind of rekindle that with Coach Tedford and things of that nature. You know, I'm talking to Robbie Rouse. He's one of my good friends still. You know, we're all fired up about Coach Tedford because we think he'll bring back that old bulldog toughness, come right at you, hit you in the mouth type of football.
I think that's exactly what fans want right now. And, yeah, think you have a unique insight. You were recruited to Fresno State by Pat Hill, as you mentioned. You played for both Hill and Tim DeRuiter. You were part of those championship teams under Tim DeRuiter in 2012 and 13. What do you think was missing these past couple seasons that the Bulldogs need to get back?
It's pretty tough. I would think it was just a mental edge or just an edge that we carried, that we came with. Derek Carr, obviously, we have a quarterback like that. You know, it makes everything good. But he set the precedent and, you know, how we're going to work and what we're going to do and how we're going to do things. You know, we're going to do stuff the right way. We're not going to take shortcuts. Not to say that those guys did, but I think we kind of had a chip on our shoulder after, you know, we felt like we got Coach Hill fired. My sophomore year, my redshirt sophomore year is when he got fired. I didn't play. I was academically ineligible. I'm not embarrassed to say it. It was one of the key moments of my life to turn it around. You know, I felt that fault too. I was like, man, maybe if I would have played that year, we could have won a couple more games. You know, you never know. After that, Derek talked to us and just said, you know, this is not who we are. It's not what we're going to be. And whoever comes in next, whoever, regardless of who it is, you know, we're going to turn this around. And, you know, we just followed his lead. And I think we just had an edge about ourselves. And we didn't want, you know, we were a little upset that Coach Hill got fired. And, you know, we thought it was our fault. So we wanted to make a change. And I think, you know, the way we went out and practiced, the way we did workouts, we came out and we just kicked the crap out of each other. And that's just what we did. And I think that really helped and transitioned into, you know, what we did those last 2 years of winning Mountain West championships.
You talked about the academic issues you had at one point. And I think that's a good message probably for the kids that you're coaching and working with nowadays to tell them like, hey, you have setbacks, you have adversity along the way, but you overcome that and you rise above it, right?
Yeah, no doubt. My message is loud and clear for, especially for my kids in Sanger and to whoever else, all these student athletes, man. I'm a perfect example of you can change, you know, you can do it, but some guys choose not to and some guys do. My thing was I was just lazy. I had family support, you know, my parents backed me up with everything. It wasn't like I was missing something, you know. I was just lazy, and I was in college, and I wanted to do other things. I wanted to play video games. I didn't want to go to class, and it catches up to you. You just can't be a student athlete and try to hide and think you're going to get saved. It doesn't work that way, you know? And when I was ineligible, it was a real big reality check for me. Like, hey, you're not above anybody else. You got to take care of your business or you won't be here. And that was the message that DeRuiter gave me, was that, you know, you either get your grades right or you're not going to be part of this program. And when he told me that, you know, straight to my face, I was like, man, you know what? Like, I better grow up and I better figure it out. You know, and that's all it takes. You know, some kids right now think they're on top of the world, but I told Mosby, I said, all that ratings and stuff doesn't matter now. I said, now you have to go in and put the work in. That, I mean, there's no other way around it. You can't hide. You can't skip a rep. You can't skip a set. These guys, these grown men you're about to go face against, you know, they already put the work. You got to match that and some more. So, you know, it's all good life lessons, and I try to echo that to my kids, you know, all the time.
Yeah, and I know as soon as you got on the field those last 2 years, you guys really had it going on the D-line. You were wreaking havoc on people with yourself and Tyler Davison and Andy Jennings and some other guys.
Yeah.
Talk about some of your best memories as a Bulldog.
Man,
what comes to mind?
So many. I mean, obviously the biggest one that sticks out to me is probably beating Boise at home. And Johnny Norton, who was one of our walk-on, he was one of our nickel DBs, and he's about 5'6", 180 pounds, but he had the biggest heart. And he prepped himself, and he made the play. I believe it was on Kirby Moore, who is now our receivers coach at Fresno State, but I could be mistaken. You know, I think that might be my greatest memory, playing along Tyler Davison and Andy Jennings. Those guys made my life easy. You know, a lot of the attention went towards Tyler, obviously, and you see what he's doing now in the NFL. So it made my job easy when I'm just getting single blocked instead of double teamed. Well, I better make a play, you know, or I better hold my gap and make a play in there, you know. So those guys made my life so much easier. Play alongside those guys, obviously you have one of the top quarterbacks in the nation. That doesn't hurt either. with the receiving corps, who probably was the best in the nation at the time as well.
Absolutely right up there. And, you know, we can't let you go without asking about the Bulldog Stadium. You've probably seen the renderings of what it could look like as soon as 2019 when this remodel's done. Your team, your success was probably a big part of kind of spurring the action to remodel Bulldog Stadium now with Jim Barco here as athletics director. How excited are you to see what can happen if Bulldog Stadium is transformed into a more modern, fan-friendly atmosphere?
Man, I'm so fired up about that. I went back, I think we went over there for a passing tournament in the summer, and we went to the locker room. Even the locker room has changed since I've been there. I kind of joke with the guys. I have a player who's there who I coached at Clovis North named Jasad Haynes. I kind of told him I was messing with him. I said, you're welcome. You know, you're welcome for this nice stuff you guys got now and all that. And it's just joking, but, you know, I think that would really help in the recruiting process as well. You go to some of these other Mountain West schools, you know, for Boise, that's just the precedent. That's the standard. You know, as much as I hate talking about those guys, that is the standard. That's where you want to get to. If you see some of their facilities, some of their stuff they got, you know, it's like, okay, you know, we're a little behind. We need to catch up to those guys, if not pass them up. I think that'll be a big boost for us as far as recruiting and things of that nature.
Definitely. Does it feel good to come back and see things like that locker room and know that you had a hand in making it happen?
Oh, no doubt, man. No doubt. It's a little bragging rights. You know, I tease with my guys and all that, but it's all love. You know, I'm so excited and I'm so fired up for those guys to get that type of stuff, you know, but like Coach Hill said, I don't want those guys to get spoiled. You know, you got to earn that stuff. And one thing Coach Hill had us do was when incoming freshmen came in, he put us in an old locker room. And, you know, we had to earn our way to get with the big dogs. And I think that was kind of another thing where we had a chip on our shoulder. And, you know, if you're always working for it, you don't want anything given to you. Those guys all earn their scholarships, but now they got to earn that right to be called a Bulldog and have that D on their back of their helmet. It's all a learning process. And these guys got to grow up. And, you know, they got to learn how to practice. They got to learn how to compete with each other. You know, all for the greater cause, and I think we'll be okay.
A true Bulldog, Nico Mata, former defensive lineman at Fresno State, now coaching at Sanger High. Nico, thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Yeah, thanks, Nico. Thanks for your time. We're just going to jump right into that National Signing Day press conference with head coach Jeff Tedford and listen to the breakdown of all the players that he brought in, the new Bulldogs, and what they bring to the table. We're going to go to that audio right now.
There's 23 of them here. I'll go through it. Jorge Reyna. Junior college quarterback, brings in a lot of experience, a lot of athleticism and arm strength. Felt like we needed some experience at quarterback, and through my study with tape, felt like he brings a lot to the table. Very competitive young man. He's on campus right now working out, so he's doing a great job. Jordan Mims, running back from Menlo Atherton, explosive player. I'm sure in the next couple days you'll be able to see all these guys' highlights. Does it all. He's a physical guy. Says 5'11", 180 there. I think he's closer to 190, 195. Ronnie Rivers, we talked about. Very elusive. Back, catches a ball really well. Great lateral movement. Very tough guy. Runs hard. You know, for a guy not big on stature, he really runs with his pads low, and he can be physical. Two really good receivers, great receivers. Darren Grimm, who was a bounce back from Nebraska and went to Delta JC, had a great year there, and was committed to Washington State in the beginning, and we were fortunate to get him flipped and have him stay home, and he will be here in the fall. Patrick June is a wide receiver from Morningside. When you see his tape, I think you're really going to be impressed. He's a long, athletic receiver that can do a lot of things, can make some people miss, great body control, really good player. Two very solid receivers. Logan Javernick, who goes by Gunner, is a big 6'5" tight end, all-conference tight end from Ventura JC. They were in a lot of 10 personnel and didn't have a lot of tight ends on the field at times. But when he was in there, they really used him around in the red zone. He's a great target. He's a former basketball player, so he's really athletic and has great body control, gets up and gets the football, and did a nice job in run blocking as well, did a lot of movement with him, pulling on counter, leading on backers, things like that. Mark David, we talked about from Montreal, who Coach Grubb has a great relationship with. He's a big guy, 6'5", 365, and I think that's probably being generous. He's probably a little heavier than that, but he's a big man, and he can move. He can really move. Dante Bull, we talked about, 6'7", 305. You're going to see his tape. He played tight end at times as well. Just a really, really good athlete. And both these guys just need to make the transition into the American game. But great physical skills. Cyrus from Pleasant Valley, a long tackle that actually went to the high school that Aaron Rodgers attended. And so it was great to go back on campus there and see him. Great family. Feel like he's a long guy, long arms, more of a tackle guy. You know, when you look at the offensive linemen, you have two tackles in Dante and Cyrus and three guards. Zeeland is from Jay Sarah. Really, really well coached. Plays with great base, really thick, athletic guy. But their high school coaches did a great job of coaching him. And he comes probably one of the most well-prepared guys in the class. And then Q Woodley, who signed last year, had to get some academic work done. He's with us right now on campus, really athletic. Yeah, I can't wait for you guys to see their tape because you'll see what I'm talking about. Guys who have a little bit of attitude to them, they finish blocks, they play with some nastiness, but they have the athletic ability to put themselves in position to finish plays. Richard Cage is a defensive end from Roosevelt High School. Great pass rusher off the edge. Highly recruited guy. One of probably the highest ranked guys if you're going by rankings. But he's really athletic. Great young man. Great family. Feel like he could have the ability to make a sudden impact. Damian DeGruy, he's from Louisiana. And another guy with some speed, some edge rush. We felt like we really need to improve our pass rush and get some edge rushers to get after the quarterback. Those two guys do it. TJ Malga, we talked about from Fallon. He's probably going to move inside, even though he played outside in high school, but he's got the body type to get bigger and move down inside. Emeka, he's from De Anza College. He is another edge rusher, a guy who plays with a great motor. A guy like this being 6'1", anytime you can get guys like that that play with great leverage and lean, they can give big, tall tackles a lot of problems because big, tall tackles can't bend. And when you watch him play, he gets off the ball. He's got a great motor. He can bend the edge, and he's relentless getting after the passer. So you have really three edge rushers there that are really going to help us with our pass rush. The DBs, Matt Boateng from Arizona Western College, he's going to play corner. He's a guy who has great range and, you know, being 5'11", he's a guy that can cover out on the edge and play man-to-man defense. He comes up and he'll hit you. He's really good in run support. Earl Chambers is from Merced College. He's going to play safety for us. Safety type of nickel, maybe guy that can kind of get closer to the box. He's a very physical guy. When you watch him, he comes downhill. He's a big hitter, And so he's a kid that we feel like can play a couple different positions, maybe either safety or come down into a will or nickel position. Sherman Coleman's probably maybe the fastest guy in the class, a little bit smaller guy, but has great feet and great speed. And another guy that you feel really comfortable with putting him on the edge, playing man-to-man. Waylon Free is a long corner, again, a 6'1" corner who is highly recruited and goes to Linwood High School. He's a track guy as well, but when you watch him play, same thing is true. You know, you get guys that are 6'1" that can go out there on the corner, gives you a lot of ability to cover some of the mismatched guys that people try to match you up with. And then Aaron Mosby, just a big athlete, 6'3", 200 pounds. From Sanger, he's a guy that can do a lot of things. I don't know that he may not end up getting down in the box pretty soon. When you're 6'3", 200 pounds, he's a great-looking guy. And you watch him play receiver at that size, he got great body control. He can go up and get the football. So when you watch him play receiver and then you watch him play safety, and you're going to see the range that he's going to be able to have, and he plays corner as well in high school, and he has really, really good instincts at corner. He'll come up and make plays. He'll hit you. He's instinctive to the ball. So we feel like he's got a lot of diversity with him that he can play either high as a safety or maybe drop down in the box from time to time. And then Chris Coleman is an athlete out of Bakersfield, Garces, who is a guy who can play defense or offense, depending on where our need is, because he does both. But he's pretty electric with the ball in his hands, pretty dynamic guy. And so we'll just have to see where he fits, where he could play the fastest for us. Daniel Moraga is a linebacker tight end guy. Those are his two positions when you look at athlete, that he's really comfortable at tight end. You'll see him split out playing receiver a lot at that size. 6'4", 235, and he plays receiver. He plays in the slot. But then when you watch him play linebacker, he's very tough, and he runs downhill, and he's very physical. And so he would be a guy that you could attach at tight end that has the physical abilities, but the range and the vertical threat to get down the field and catch the football. Zane Pope is another athlete that could play either side of the ball. When I first looked at Zane Pope on tape, he reminded me of Keenan Allen, a guy that I've coached before. The body control, going to the football, route running, just really, really natural to the football, makes great catches. He can play defense as well. So, again, he will be in that position to find out where he's going to play and where he could help us the soonest. There you go.
Thanks again to our guest, Bulldog Nico Mata. Eddie Hughes, take us out of here, bud.
Please join us again next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. Follow us on Twitter at 907KFSR Sports. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.